Let's freaking go! The new Portal King is here, baby. Brian Kelly. Are you kidding me? You wouldn't believe what this guy has done in the transfer portal. I didn't believe it. And I have to give Brian Kelly a lot of credit that he learned from his mistakes last year, getting aggressive in the transfer portal, bringing in Michael Van Buren. Obviously, that was the most shocking addition. I also want to include that this live stream will be a little bit different because the best is yet to come. I'm serious. I've heard some good vibes regarding some of the other players that LSU is very interested in when it comes to the transfer portal. It's also very important to note that I shared it in the last live stream. I won't go too deep into it now, but obviously, you know, I'm going through a family situation here, so don't know how long I'll be able to go, but it's all good. Now, we're not going to talk about Michael Van Buren. We're going to talk about the man that we have been talking about for months now, Berrien Brown. My good buddy for CBS Sports, Shehan Jeyaraja, had a tweet before the year began, and he's a national college football reporter, and he said, who is the one player that excites you the most going into the college football season that nobody is talking about? And I said, Berrien Brown, the wide receiver out of Kentucky. This is a true freshman producer. Really freaking excited about him, okay? And we'll talk about all the other portal additions. I will focus mostly on those two because I have watched a good bit of those two. But, of course, we have other big-time commits that we want to get to as well. Now, in the live chat right now, type Y for yes, type N for no if you can hear me loud and clear. But to start things off, you got to give Brian Kelly so much freaking credit for saying, look, I still want to develop and build programs through high school recruiting. But the bottom line is, with the way things are set up now, we have got to hit the college football transfer portal really hard. And I do want to share this, that the $1 million that he himself infused into the program has helped out tremendously. Okay? Now, this is something that I am not an expert in, which is money. I don't personally have a lot of money. I know a lot of people that do, which is kind of weird. Don't ever go to Vegas with friends that actually have money. It's weird. I would like to consider myself successful. I do fine, but I don't have a lot of money. I'm not great with stocks, crypto, any of that stuff. All right. Fundraising is something I'm not an expert in. So this weekend, I have been talking to heads of collectives, agents, also someone who's been very illuminating for me, have been the players' parents. I've spoken to so many different people over the weekend, and this is blatantly clear. We will never, unless something drastically changes, and I say never, it's probably not the best word, but over the next year or so, we're not going to have the deepest pockets, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. But every little bit helps when you donate to the Bayou Traditions. Every little bit helps when, you know, you show love on social media. Look, I was shocked by this. How many recruits like watch the channel? You know, I met with and took a photo that got passed around because he's so much bigger than me. Met with Carius Kern earlier this year. He's a, I wouldn't say he's a friend, but I've talked to him a decent amount, and he said he loved the film breakdown I did of him when he committed, and he said that other recruits, other commits, watch my film breakdowns, and I try to be as fair as I possibly can in every last little thing that I do. And the thing that's interesting to me is players. Yeah, there are some that just want the absolute most amount of money, but there are some that are like, hey, I just want to go get developed. I want to join what is the biggest brand, arguably, in college athletics when it comes to your individual net worth? Because there's no bigger individual college stars that have come out over the last 5 years that can compare to what LSU has produced. That's not me just being biased. It's just me telling the damn truth. So there's a lot at play for every kid's decision. But the bottom line is, a good 75 to 80% of every decision that a kid is making now comes down to money. It's just how it is. It comes down to money. They don't care if you are going from one school to the rival school. And it's not just football. It's men's basketball as well in particular. So all those things are very freaking important. Okay. But I am not the money guy. It's not why I got into college athletics. It's not why I became a film study guy. I'm the football guy. I want to tell you about if a guy is good or not. So let's get into Michael Van Buren. Pause. That is such a major pause. But is Michael Van Buren someone that can actually challenge Garrett Nussmeier for real playing time? But what if I told you that that really doesn't matter at all? Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come
So, who is Michael Van Buren? Why did LSU decide to go get another quarterback out of the transfer portal? And could this just be another situation where LSU is bringing in a quarterback who won't have any impact at all? Because we saw that last year with A.J. Swan. And A.J. Swan actually has a lot of characteristics that are similar to Michael Van Buren in one aspect, right? I say a lot, but there is one major thing that they do have in common. They got a lot of playing time early in their careers, not necessarily because they were the best player, but because they were in a situation where they could play. All right, so Michael Van Buren had to play a lot last year at Mississippi State because Louisiana native Blake Shapen, their starting quarterback, got hurt. He got hurt. So in steps in 5'11" Michael Van Buren. Very interesting player. Now, when it comes to his actual recruiting ranking, he didn't enter last year with a lot of fanfare. He was a solid 4-star recruit, but the two big services had him as a 3-star recruit. Now, it was interesting. ESPN had him as a top 60 recruit. They had him as a borderline 5-star, but On3 and 247 had him as a 43-ranked quarterback. 247 had him as a 27th-ranked quarterback. And as a true freshman, he had to play a lot out of St. Francis Academy in Maryland. I believe that is the same high school that Deshaun Womack is from. And who is the DB? Jordan Tolles, I believe, is also from that same high school. So he played a lot. Now, as you can see on the screen right now, varying degrees of success. But the one thing we can say beyond reasonable doubt is that there was not a quarterback in the entire SEC last year that played a tougher schedule than what he had to face, especially when you factor in he is a backup, true freshman, 5'11 quarterback with the worst offensive tackles in the SEC last year, which were at Mississippi State, and a first-year head coach. And by the way, the worst defense imaginable, Mississippi State's last year. It really was that bad. And as you can see, some good, some bad. But I want you to notice once again, at Texas, at Georgia, versus Texas A&M, at Tennessee, Missouri, and Ole Miss. So the worst SEC team he had to start and finish a game against was a pesky, decent Arkansas Razorback team. So there are so many great college football quarterbacks. Let's say someone like Drew Allar, who is going to get drafted really high whenever he decides to come out. He plays at Penn State, one of the premier universities. I'm not sure if Drew Allar has played in this many tough games as Michael Van Buren had to in his true freshman season. So that is the first thing that I like about this kid. Insanely competitive, and at the same time, this is a ridiculous amount of experience for a guy this young in his career. And the second thing I would say is he wasn't terrible. Was he great? No. One thing that he did that was fascinating was his deep ball accuracy. Now, did he miss a few? Yes. But he threw a few beauties right in stride. And that was something that we struggled with last year, if we're being quite frank. Now, is he a better thrower than Garrett Nussmeier? No, he probably never will be. There's not many quarterbacks who will be as good of a thrower as Garrett Nussmeier, particularly in the intermediate. Of course, Garrett Nussmeier had his turnover issues. Michael Van Buren had 7 interceptions, and some of them were terrible. They were just not good INTs whatsoever. But as you can see, 200-300-yard games. Obviously, as a runner, he gives you something. The rushing numbers don't look that great. But a lot of that is sacks, right? As you can see, he took 27 sacks, and a lot of them were disastrous sacks, which obviously ate into his rushing total. But at the same time, while he can run, he's not a runner that is like truly spectacular. He's a good runner, not a great, great, great runner. But, you know, if we're going to do on a scale of 1 being not good at all and 10 being Jaden Daniels, he's probably a 5-ish, 6 or a 7 on the running scale. So, number one, we don't like the sack totals, but like I said, worst offensive tackles in the SEC. Number two, you do worry about the turnovers. But the big thing here is he wasn't ever really supposed to play. And that's what really stood out to me. Okay. So we'll break down a few film. We'll try and get a film study out tomorrow on him. And we'll talk about a few other players as well. But here he is versus Ole Miss. Simple little ball thrown out into the flats here. And you'll see right here, did a good job. Obviously, lots of pressure. As you can see, this offensive line for Mississippi State is a disaster. Does a good job getting this ball out into the flats. Now, before this, he did throw a really, really, really bad interception. But this is really good quarterbacking to take what the defense gave him and move the chains. Let's go to the next play here that I wanted to break down just for right now. Get a motion defender right here on this 4th and 7. Love the 4th down aggression. And they are bringing an all-out pressure. It's almost all out. There's cover 1 right here. And the running mesh, the perfect play call to run against this. Obviously, this is a Mike Leach staple. We've seen Mississippi State run it so many years. And then, of course, this ended up being an absolutely massive gain. Obviously, not some crazy read, but you can see that he is poised. It looked at, you know, one thing I look for is as a player, it never really felt like the game was just moving too incredibly fast for him, which is something that you look for from a quarterback. You can normally see that pretty quickly. Now, do we know if he's good or not? It's a little too early to tell because, once again, year one. And I cannot stress this enough. Quarterback is the hardest thing to gauge because not everyone gets to play at the same time. It really is the only position where we don't really see that in all sports. Normally, if you play any other position, your wait time is normally a few games a year at most. So I liked what I saw last year, and I do like the fact that they went out there, got a backup quarterback who can run. I never want a pocket quarterback to be backed up by another pocket quarterback again. Now, once again, it'll all come down to if Van Buren even wins this job, wins the backup quarterback job. But I understand that there are a lot of people that are saying, hey, why would we do this if we have Garrett Nussmeier? Why would we do this? Well, whether you like Garrett Nussmeier or not, quarterbacks get hurt. And the second most important player on your team is not Aaron Anderson. It's not Whit Weeks. It's your backup quarterback. It always has been. It always will be. Our most controversial college football playoff decision came down to a backup with Florida State. So your backup quarterback is so important. Sometimes your third stringer, ask Mr. I don't play school, 12-gauge Cardale Jones. You have to have depth at the quarterback position. So what do we know about Van Buren? We don't know a whole lot, but we know he's not terrible. And number two, our quarterback room got better. And you can't just sit here and say that he's ass. You can't. Because there's not a single quarterback that played a tougher defense in a tougher environment than he did last year. Now, I will say, as bad as I thought the Mississippi State offensive line was, they did have good receivers, Mario Craver and those guys. I mean, he had good skill guys. Mississippi State's never really had an issue with skill guys going all the way back to those Chad Bumpus, Anthony Dixon days. But they're good. They're good players, okay? Now, Garrett Nussmeier's not losing his job. He's not. He's not. It's just that simple. And there's actually bigger fish to fry than worrying about Garrett Nussmeier. Do you really think at this point in his career, he gives a damn whoever else is in that quarterback room? When he stuck it out behind Jaden Daniels, behind Miles Brennan, Walker Howard comes in. He's a competitor, even in his own quarterback room. So let's give Brian Kelly a lot of credit for bringing in a very interesting quarterback who could have gone elsewhere and actually gone somewhere to play. Now, did he get paid to come here? Yeah. You know, you think A.J. Swan decided to join a quarterback room last year at a steep discount? No. I mean, you pay for that insurance. Also, Garrett Nussmeier is actually the anomaly. Most quarterbacks just move around. Who was it? A friend of the show, Preston Guy, had the fascinating stat that Garrett Nussmeier will be the first quarterback since 2011 to start and finish his career at LSU, scholarship quarterback. So there you go. Next thing. Let's talk about Jakeem Jackson and Bower Sharpe. This is our first live stream. We did our deep dive Bower Sharpe film study. We'll start with him because we've already done the film review on him. You guys saw my very honest opinion of him. I actually watched so much Oklahoma football this year. They became the third biggest team on Power Hour SEC. And I like Bower Sharpe. I think him and Van Buren do have something in common in that they were both bright spots on overall bad offenses. And that could be a blessing and a curse. Number one, you're getting that big-time SEC experience. But number two, some of your production is the byproduct of your environment. So while Bower Sharpe did lead Oklahoma in receptions, that, in and of itself really isn't too big of a deal because all five of Oklahoma's best receivers got hurt. Now, is it still impressive that he did that? Yes. Especially considering 2021, Bower Sharpe did not play. Hardly at all. He was a redshirt freshman. Then in 2022 and 2023, he was a good tight end at Southeastern. Then in 2024 at Oklahoma, he didn't really have the situation that he probably thought he was going to be in. Before you know it, he became their best offensive player. And one thing I could say, he'll get compared to Mason Taylor all the way up until the start of next season. But Bower Sharpe is faster. I'll say that at least. He's definitely faster. You could definitely see him taking a few slants for big gains. Obviously, that was not really Mason's game. Someone mentioned that their PFF blocking numbers were similar. I don't see it that way. I think the world of PFF. I love PFF, but I don't think they're close when it comes to blocking. I think Mason's a far better blocker than Sharp. But then again, I'm really excited about him. Overall, I'm really excited. I do think LSU needs to get another tight end, though. I do. Okay. Next thing. Jakeem Jackson. This is one that, you know, I watched a decent amount of about him. You know, I was putting together a film study on him last week, actually. And I wanted to reach out and do a little bit more research about what actually went wrong versus Florida. Obviously, he got hurt. You know, he was a Corey Raymond recruit, and then obviously C. Ray comes over here. Jackson, single-digit number, starting at corner. And, you know, gets hurt 2 games in, and now he's with us. Obviously, this room, the overall secondary, I'm not just talking to my corners, it is the single most important room that LSU must hit in the portal. It is by far the biggest room. Maybe outside of offensive line, but still. Wink, wink, nod, nod. I'll save my offensive line discussion for when those guys make their announcement. I do feel we're still a good bit away from being where we are and where we need to be in the secondary. Okay. Now, yesterday, at the good fortune of DJing a private event for Code 3 Services, shout out Code 3. I think I have one of their koozies. But, you know, I wasn't really able to watch a lot of Jamari Butler, the end out of Nebraska. Now, I watched some Nebraska footage because I wanted to watch that quarterback, Mr. Raiola, the Patrick Mahomes clone, who's not even close to Patrick Mahomes' talent. I'm sorry. Even when he gets to that, I don't think he's going to be that good in college. Mostly watch him for their offense. I'm excited, though. I'm excited. LSU needed an in. There might be more coming. Okay? Let's get to as many questions as we possibly can. Once again, long opening segment. So let's get to comments. Let's go. It's not about me. It's about this team. It's about you tonight on a glorious Sunday. 425 of you on in here. I really appreciate you guys. Please hit that like button, subscribe, retweet, Facebook, all that good stuff. Seeing people say he wouldn't come here. I don't know. Let's go to Bullfrog. We need to find a way to lock down Zachariah Poyser. Here's something that's weird about transfer portal visits. I did a film study on Poyser. And do I think he's solid? Yeah, I think he's very solid. I think we need to do better. I think we really need to pay up and go get a safety. If Austin Thomas were to call and ask, "Hey Carter, we know you watch the team closely. I don't know as much as the coaches. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way." I would say go pay the most money you possibly can for the best safety. And once again, we don't have unlimited resources for now. But I think that is the single most important position LSU must address. Okay? One thing that's going to be interesting as we move forward here, I am going to look very closely at what's going to happen to the players that are leaving this year. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, Brian Kelly made it such a strong point to say high school recruiting, high school recruiting, high school recruiting. So we're so big on high school football recruiting development. I wonder what's going to happen to the players that have entered the portal that left wide open playing time opportunities here. Okay, let's take someone like Deshaun Womack. How's he going to do at Ole Miss? Is he going to do anything at all? What about Shelton Sampson? Is he going to do anything at all? I do want to include this. I don't think Jackson Howard did anything in year two. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't think he did anything. I watched a lot of Lance Hurd. It was very up and down this year for Tennessee. Jaylen Brown was a complete non-factor at Florida State. So it's going to be interesting to see what those guys do. And if they turn out to be duds at their next stop, maybe it was just unluckiness. But that's the thing about transfer portals. Are there instances where you bring in a proven portal guy and they fall off or they don't play as well as you think that they would? Yeah, there are some instances, but for the most part, who that guy was in the portal, outside of quarterback, I think quarterback's different, is who that guy is going to be for you. I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you think Gio Paez was who you thought he would be this year? Yes, I think most of us agree. Gio Paez was going to be a solid defensive tackle for LSU. That is exactly who he was. Exactly who he was. Jerick Bernard Converse, was he a solid to very, very, very good at times defensive back for LSU? Yes. So that's why I am so portal-pilled, if you will. I freaking love getting proven guys out of the portal. Guys that have proven experience at the Division I, Power 4, college football level. They're also adults. They're also on their second stop, so it's a now or never kind of situation. Not necessarily now or never. You could TJ Finley and play for every school in the South, but whatever the case may be, you do you, okay? Now, let's go to H-Town Creole. We get our first super chat. We actually get two right here, one from Jared and one from Julie. How do I feel about Jacoby Matthews? And then Jared, which is a very generous super chat. I really appreciate you, man. Goes a long way. All right. Let's take a look at the poll question before we start, talk some Jacoby Matthews. Jakeem Jackson currently winning the poll. Who is your favorite transfer portal addition? There we go. I like that. I like that. Y'all like that? Y'all like that? And by the way, we're TJ Finley fans here. I was just pointing out that you can, with the COVID year, guys, you can play until eternity. If you're Cam Rising and you're watching this now, go to Enterprise Rental Car. Get a job like the rest of us. Huh? Huh? Oh, I love it. Jacoby Matthews will sign with LSU. Sure. I'll let that situation play out. Obviously, he would be a safety that I would be very interested in because I've seen him play at the SEC level. And, yeah, I just think he's fantastic. I do. Okay. Let's see. Not a chance. I don't think they're going to keep recruiting him. Now. Coming up next, who are some guys that could pop for LSU in the next 24 to 48 hours? And why is this happening? Why when we had all this portal positivity, why is it that all these guys started committing now? The honest truth right after
book
this.
Your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Yeah, I think Brian Kelly's infusion helped. I also think your donations to traditions helped. I do. I also just think, and take this for what it's worth, we're laissez-faire in the portal last year. And I hate to say that I was right. I'll say that I was partially right. I was pro LSU doing what was necessary with Madhouse. Because remember, 365 days ago, we were in the entire camp of, you know, we were caught up in Jaden's Heisman. And after that, we were then caught up in the Madhouse situation. So there was a lot going on at that time, and we were getting ready to pay a lot of our coaches a lot of money. I mean, a lot of cheddar. We had the highest paid assistant coach on the planet Earth on our staff. I would like to think that there's not an assistant coach that makes more than Blake Baker at $2.5 million a year. And we paid all those other great assistants, and they were good in year one. And you guys know I'm a big Blake Baker guy. But while we were doing that, other schools were bringing in big portal ads. Notice what's changed. We put our foot on the freaking gas pedal and said, we're not going to get behind in the portal. We're just not. Now, did we add some pieces? Yeah, we had some really fine pieces. And while Jordan Gilbert is not the most popular person, at least he came in and gave us something. But now, if you're being more aggressive early in the cycle, that means you're getting better players, right? You're not getting some guys later on in the process, which let's just say there are some good players that do come out into the portal later in the transfer portal process, they're going to be more expensive, right? Because there's just so many out there right now that, you know, they have to take a deal at some point. You don't want to get into the situation where, like Dominic Williams, who was a good player for Oklahoma, he would have been a very good player for us, especially with Bo Davis's coaching. The price started to get ridiculous. Him, Simeon Barrow, Phillip Blitty, and all three of those guys actually were solid players. Ironically, Phillip Blitty was in our film study with Bauer Sharp. Bauer Sharp's best block that I charted last year was on Phillip Blitty, and that was a defensive tackle versus a tight end. So it's fun seeing LSU be aggressive. Now, who are some other guys? Nick Anderson is a guy to look out for out of Oklahoma. Now, there will be another name in Braylon Moore, who to me is the single most important transfer because he's a center. And I really think LSU needs a new center. And I will slam my fist on the table until the end of eternity about how crazy it was we didn't try anyone else new and tried to see if Chester could be somewhere else. So, you know, that's a big one. I think the most controversial one, if this were to go through, would be Jack Pyburn
out of Florida. Okay, these are just a few names. There's plenty more out there floating around. Okay, because he had a leaked list of demands. Now, a few things about this viral Twitter list of demands. Does it ever look good on anyone when you say, hey, I demand this? No. No. It anytime you as a coveted asset or a person or thing, when you have demands, it always looks bad. I used to work in stand-up, and I never really worked with the A-list acts. And what the A-list comedians and the musicians and all that stuff, what they demand is something called a writer, right? And I got asked once, do you have a writer, when I was booked to do some bar show in Texas? And I was like, I didn't even know what the hell I was. I didn't know what he said. Like, do you have a rider? I was like, no, I'm driving myself. I was like, whoa. This gig in bumfrick Texas, they're going to have a limo that comes and gets me? I was like, come pick me up. I'm ready. But there's a list of demands. And every A-list celebrity or even C-list celebrities list of demands, it never looks good. It never looks good. Okay. Yeah, I need 2 bottles of cognac. And I need 5 tubs of wings. So Jack Pyburn's list of demands came out. It was something. Nor it was never confirmed or anything like that. One thing I'll tell you is when I've spoken to collectives and all of that, everybody doesn't ever like to share specifics. Notice every other contract detail and negotiation that has ever existed includes specifics. Every single one. And sometimes in the NFL, those get leaked for negotiations, right? The problem with college football is there is no ledger. There is no cap. There is no transparency over who gets this, who gets this. So when you talk to them, you can get them on the phone. They'll be vague because they don't want to give away information. And the problem is when there isn't a cap, you can demand an unrealistic amount of money. And by the way, the player has more leverage because a player can enter the portal whenever he wants. So if you're a decent player, guess what? Someone out there is going to want you. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this. I couldn't believe my eyes. A player who I think is not that good is Bear Alexander. He has played, USC is the only school over the last 8 years of his career. So high school and college. USC is the only school he has lasted two seasons. Penn State is getting ready to play the biggest game in its program's history since the Joe Pa years. Big game. Big playoff game. Big game, James. I see a photo of him hosting Bear Alexander on a visit. You want that guy on your team? Even if Bear Alexander came to LSU at a steep discount, not trusting it. Not trusting it. Not trusting it at all. So I say all of this because, man, even the craziest, most egocentric players are still demanded. We do have an A-list audience. You guys are all A-listers to me. I'm not an A-list talent. I'm not Josh Bates in here. I will be one day, though. I will be.
I think Jack Pyburn's a good player. I really do think so. I think Jack Pyburn is better than the Will Helt defensive end out of Purdue, who everyone's high on. Dabo Swinney out of nowhere decided to offer him. And you know, Dabo hates the portal. Hates the portal. Okay.
So there you go. Now,
I've said pretty much everything that I wanted to say up to this point in the live stream. We're going to go all night, though. I kind of want to go all night. In the next 10 to 15, I'll answer as many questions as you possibly can. If you super chat, we'll go all night. But I do want to get into a few extra things. All right, we are one day closer to the college football playoff. I've got to get something off my chest. I really freaking do. Now, it's ironic because we had a Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow situation today with Jaden Daniels in the Superdome. It was a little bit different because we didn't have Jaden in the national championship game in New Orleans. So it was a little bit different, right? And the Saints, we are what we are right now as Saints fans. I could argue I'm as big of a Jaden fan as I am a Saint fan now. Whatever. Teams over players always, but still. And I say that because, you know, on Power Hour NFL, I cover both of those teams weekly. So I do a Jaden film study. I do a Saints film study. Those are already out. Okay. So I did my obligations to that. And then after this tonight, I'll start a Michael Van Buren film study, which hopefully we can get done by tomorrow. So I saw, I wasn't able to watch a Heisman ceremony, and there's all these think pieces about the Heisman ceremony, about Travis Hunter's girlfriend is bad for her, and, you know, why was Dion and all this stuff. It was weird. But this is what I couldn't understand. I couldn't freaking understand this. How many people decided to talk freaking reckless about Jaden Daniels? Because everyone wanted this feel-good story just because the Heisman Trophy vote was the closest it's ever been. And I give Ashton Gentry a lot of credit. Won the Maxwell, won all these other awards, won the fan Heisman vote, and lost in the smallest margin ever. And I give Ashton Gentry a lot of credit. Stuck it out with Boise State. Stuck it out for the team because they – every Heisman Trophy set of finalists, they get a tour of New York City, and everyone else was wearing whatever. He wore all Boise State gear. He is a fantabulous personality. He's going to be a great NFL running back. All those different things. There's not a single soul watching this right now that does not like Ashton Gentry. But I say all of this lead up because everyone wanted to make a point that Ashton Gentry would have won the Heisman Trophy in a lot of other seasons. And I saw this so much. Ashton Gentry got so unlucky. He got so unlucky. Stop it. Stop it. What Jaden Daniels did last season laps Ashton Gentry. Laps it. Now, as many of you know, I think AP is in here. American Patriot, let me know. I did a video on Travis Hunter on Power Hour SEC after the first game versus North Dakota State. Didn't hardly get any views. But I said Travis Hunter's going to win the Heisman. I saw the North Dakota State game, and I said, hey, if he stays healthy, he's going to win the Heisman. I thought he could have won the Heisman last year if he would have stayed healthy. And Jaden had some good luck winning the Heisman in that Brock Bowers and Travis Hunter got hurt. It still wouldn't have mattered. It still wouldn't have mattered. Now, it's hard to compare what Jaden Daniels did last season to what Travis Hunter did. And I feel Travis Hunter is a very unlucky guy to go up against because he's doing something that we've really not seen since Champ Bailey. Now I'll go to the grave saying I think Patrick Peterson could have done this, but let's just save that for another day. Okay. Bottom line is Jaden Daniels would have still won the Heisman this year. Look at the numbers. Statistically speaking,
and I'll move on because we want to talk about the portal and all this stuff. Now, talking about the past, I look at the analytics, it never does well. I just want to say this loud and clear. Jaden Daniels' Heisman Trophy season last season, statistically, was as good as any other quarterback in the modern era. Okay, so Joe Burrow and Cam Newton's Heisman Trophy seasons, other modern era guys, is kind of in its own little eliteness tier. I think most people would agree with that. I don't care that Jaden didn't go to the national championship. I don't care about all that other stuff. His season was still so freaking unbelievably good. It was better than Kyler Murray's, better than Baker Mayfield's, better than Lamar Jackson's, better than all of them. Better than all of them. Okay? I padded his stats. He didn't have a Heisman moment. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. So I was sick and tired of people with that lazy-ass argument. Well, Ash Ajinti just got unlucky. If it was Lash, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut it. Jaden would have freaking lapped him. I think it would have been close, though. Ash Ajinti would have had the feel-good vote, and he would have had the winning team vote or whatever. But I'm still sick of people who didn't vote Jaden for Heisman. I don't think it was the worst thing in the world if you voted for Penix or Nix, but I did see people leave Jaden off the ballot altogether, which is very nefarious. But that's not here nor there. Just wanted to get that off my chest. There's a lot going on. But when it comes to Jaden Daniels' legacy, I will freaking defend it. I will freaking defend it. Okay? But I do think if it was Jaden versus Travis Hunter, it would have been close because I really do think what Travis Hunter did this year was spectacular. Okay? It was really, really, really spectacular. And it deserves praise. It does. Now, I do agree with Sibley, and we'll go to a super chat now. Joe Burrow will always, to me, have the best individual Heisman Trophy season. Okay? I understand a lot of you came out my neck, pause, last Monday for my Patrick Peterson take, but that's a different story. Compare the portal performance of LSU, Bama, Texas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss. All right. I don't know what's going on with Bama and the portal. I've not really been focused on them. I've really focused on us. I will tell you this. If you're a fan of college football, keep your head out of the portal. Unless it comes to your team. Right, try to focus in on just one team because there's just so much going on. There's so many portal players leaving and going and all of that. Justice Haynes, the Alabama running back, into the portal, not really that big of a deal. But, you know, if I was a team in the college football playoff, could you imagine getting ready to play for playing a playoff game and you're having to sort out your roster for next season? It's stupid. So the college football calendar needs to get fixed. I will, however, bring up one thing about Ole Miss. All right. I'm not going to say that this happened, but let's take a player that I did a film study on. I feel like a freaking idiot. I did a film study on this guy, Luke Haas. So Luke Haas ended up going to Ole Miss. And everybody, welcome C. Hardy to the channel. Can you go over the upcoming weak portal visitors? We'll get to that in a second. There's an interesting right tackle out of USC that's very interesting. Carvis Handley. We're going to get to everybody here tonight, okay? I agree, Johnny. I don't want everyone, I don't want anyone to ever take my DJ Chester criticism wrong. I think a lot of you know it comes from a good place. Okay? Now, one thing I will say. Has there been transfer portal drama with LSU? Yes, there has been transfer portal drama with LSU. Do we still have some interesting quote-unquote announcements for players that are currently on the team right now
Yes. I will say, though, there's a lot more drama happening at other schools. And this is honestly the first year where LSU has really, like, had this many portal departures and entries. I mean, this really has been the busiest. This will also come off weird, but this really is LSU's first real portal class for me. Because a lot of the portal classes of the past couple of seasons have been really filled with hometown discount guys. Pretty much everyone that, you know, you're bringing in are guys that really didn't have prior ties or big prior ties to LSU, right? Now, Bauer Sharp, of course, played at Southeastern Louisiana. And then, of course, Jakeem Jackson played with Corey Raymond, as we mentioned earlier. But this is like what you would look at, you know, at other schools, like actual portal players. And this portal class is about to get even bigger, okay? Really looking forward to the next 48. I really am, okay? Look, what went down at Arkansas over the past couple of weeks is ludicrous. It's insane. And I feel like a sucker for doing that Luke Haas film study. And I should have seen it from a mile away. Luke Haas was always going to Ole Miss. He was always going to Ole Miss. What is the best way to troll the SEC when it comes to your decision of whether or not you're going to go to Ole Miss or stay at Arkansas for Luke Haas? Well, let's just shoehorn a visit to LSU. He was never going to LSU. He was always going to Ole Miss, like every other player on Arkansas's team. Okay? That's drama. That's real freaking drama. Now, has LSU dealt with some drama? Yeah, everybody goes through portal drama. And like Brian Kelly himself said, there were a few perplexing player decisions. The truth of the matter, though, is there's not really that many needle movers in the positive that normally leaves your team for the transfer portal. It's just how it is. All right. I feel up to this point in the portal cycle, LSU lost one needle mover, and that's CJ Daniels. But how big of a needle mover is he? He's good. I think we can all agree he's good. But when it comes to college football, what you must try to avoid is having bad. Because, look, we all know Joe Sloan was a major issue. We all know Brian Kelly and some of the coaching decisions and management and not having the team ready to play. Those were major issues. I do think, though, LSU wins an extra game or so if they had a few reasonable performances at certain positions in games that they did end up losing. Perfect example. Let's take the Florida game, for instance. Now, so much from that Florida game came down to, you know, Garrett Nussmeier's bad decisions, and they were tough decisions. However, I could count four different players that were year one or year two guys that played the full length game and they struggled mightily. Like they struggled bad, like really, really, really bad. Like what you typically think of Vanderbilt is what we were putting out there. No disrespect to those guys, but disrespect to those guys, right? It was that, okay? So guys leaving the portal, it's not so much if a guy leaves or not. Are they bad or are they good? It's were they playable? Were they playable? And we had a lot of unplayable. Now, are these guys that we're bringing in, are they SEC material? Can some of these guys be superstars? Yeah, some of them very well could be superstars. But a lot of it comes down to, are you playable? That's why I mentioned Gio Paez earlier.
he's playable. He's a rotational guy. Obviously, he's gone now. Eligibility is used up. But what happened was is his playable started getting stretched out with the Guillory injury and the depth and us moving Parrishand around. It then started getting to the point where him playing as much as he had to play and us relying on him as much started becoming unplayable. So, you know, yes, there are plenty of instances where you can point to, well, Garrett Nussmeier should have done this, or he shouldn't have turned the football over in this spot or that spot. And it is true. I mean, he really threw us out of the A&M game, as Pegasus mentions here. But Garrett Nussmeier was more than playable this year for LSU. He was very good. I think I would consider him, especially for a first-year starter, as very good. James, I appreciate you, man. Hoss Luke. I was excited, man. I really do like him. Okay. Look at this. We got an LSU supporter saying, hey, I enjoy your Twitter show. That's good. It's always good, man. By the way, I would be a loser to not, I'm not going to show the photo, but let's talk a little bit about that Dylan Cruz, Jaden Daniels link up today. That was legendary. That was absolutely positively legendary. I'm going to show you that before I go into this next super chat here. Got to show it. I can't tease it and not show it. Look at this, man. I might need a change of clothes. Look at this. I got to mute it with the music. Look at this. Greatness on greatness right there. Love to see it. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, I want to bring up this player. Let me see if I can find this. All right, here we go. A little bit of a long shot here. It's one of my dream gets right here. Mason Murphy. Offensive lineman. Interior. Hadn't watched a whole lot, if we're being honest. But had one personnel guy say, this guy's about to get freaking paid. I hope it's us. And he told me he's good. Okay. So let's get him on campus, C. Hardy. Let's do it. How much do LSU athletes from different sports hang out? Well, I could tell you, and I don't like getting too much into like any person's like personal life, but Garrett Nussmeier is related to an LSU baseball player. So he's hung out with the LSU baseball team quite a bit. Obviously there's quite a few LSU athletes at date. You have similar course schedules and all that stuff. Let's actually talk to an LSU athlete here. Sacco, who was an LSU swimmer all the time. Ironically, you know, when I lived in WCA, the athletes that I spent a lot of time with were the tennis guys. Neil Skupski, who ended up winning Wimbledon, was someone that I hung out with a decent amount. Sebastian Carlsen, Julian, I miss those guys. And they're really good tennis players at LSU. We had a good tennis program. Shout out Coach Brian. So Sacco says they hang out all the time. But outside, and I think chance more so means like outside of like your typical coursework. Like, do they all go out to the bars together or whatever? I mean, they do. Yeah, I'd agree. Burrow's a GOAT. The GOAT season at LSU. Hard to deny that. I saw Joey B getting into it with enemy number one. I know Julie doesn't like this person. Zach Taylor. Let's go to Mark Becker. He says MVB is better than Nuss, who is a zero on the running scale. Well, I think it depends on how you want to define that. When it comes to actually tucking and running and adding something to the offense with your legs, Garrett, to me, was actually a negative. Right? I don't think that's too harsh of a statement, because if he tucked and ran some of the time, it would have eased up a few things for us offensively. And he did do it some of the times, but you can go back and watch every film study that we did. But he's not like just the most unathletic guy in the world. I mean, he's not freaking Tyler Van Dyke back there. I mean, he can accomplish some things with his legs. Some. Okay. But Garrett has got to run more. Kyle says college baseball players are D-backs. Kyle says as a former college baseball player. I didn't know that about you. I don't know. I've only had mostly good interactions with college baseball players. Can I say one thing is the nicest elite all-time LSU athlete, and Joe was really nice to me when I got to meet him a few years ago, will be Paul Skeens. I will never forget that. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever forget that. But then again, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. And I mentioned Jaden earlier. He had a good day today. BTJ had a big day today in a losing effort. Malik Nabers had a big day today in a losing effort. Honestly, the best LSU Tiger today was Derek Stingley. Holy crap. Okay. Holy crap. Now, Kyle, this is where I push back. Kyle's a really good stand-up comedian. He says, you've never had to live with them for a few weeks out of a van. All right, Kyle, that's where I'll push back. And I'm defending all the college baseball players out there. And look, was I a baseball player? Yes, I played AAU baseball. Did I ever actually get on the field on the AAU baseball team? No. I was good enough to make the team. True story. All right, so I was an AAU baseball player. But I was the only player that was good enough that they could find to add to the team, because they only went to the college, or I say the college, the AAU World Series with
nine players. Exactly nine players. No bullpen, no nothing. So they needed a 10th player to go. And they found me. So I was an AAU baseball player in name only. And I'll be honest, I had a lot of friends on the team. I didn't want to go. I did not want to go. I didn't want to hop in a van with a bunch of other baseball players. But they said, Carter, if you go, we will pay for your trip to Six Flags. I was like, sign me up. So I went. So I actually did the same thing. I was with a bunch of baseball players in a van. Obviously, we have one chaperone driving us. And it was fun, to say the least. So I'm defending my fellow elite AAU baseball players out there. You could live with Sylvia Sweeney, Halle Berry, Chris Rock for some comedic relief, and Salma Hayek in a van. And you're going to hate each other until the end of time. You can live with anyone in a van. You're going to hate them. You're going to hate them. That's part of my problem, is in order for your sports show to take, that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start doing my sports show from a van, right? PFT and Big Cat did their show from a van. There's a show with another Barstool show where they do it from a van. I know Delaney Walker hosts it from time to time. That's the thing. I got to move my show into the back of a van. Okay. Let's go to TJ with the super chat. Appreciate it, man. Any idea on what the holdup is with the Moore commitment? So Braylon Moore, the Virginia Tech. Do you think there's anything to worry about? Maybe anything NIL related? Yeah, you're always worried until the player actually signs. There's guys that are committed that at all different types of schools that have not actually signed. Okay. I'm not really worried about it. I'm not. I think you'll follow through. I do. A D2 catcher. Let's go. Shout out Brian Cressy. I'll do a show on the van. Hey, we got a bunch of vans that watch the channel. Shout out to them. All right, let's take a few more here. Here's a Twitter DM I saw. Carter, do you think Jaden Daniels could play DB to settle the Travis Hunter, Jaden Daniels debate? Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels could play DB. But you never want a quarterback playing both ways. This is a big one here. Micah Hudson, wide receiver. Commits to Texas A&M. Now, they're going to give him Uno right out the gate? I don't know about that.
Yeah, bro. Arkansas. Ugh.
Do I have a final score prediction for the Baylor game? So, Noah, this is the comment of the night. No. Just take a look at us right now. Just take a look at us. Now, I know we are 2 weeks away from the actual bowl game. But we have done an hour 10 of content, and not once has the name Baylor been brought up. Hell, for a second, I thought Elgin Baylor was going to get reference before this bowl game versus Baylor. The problem, Noah, is nobody cares, including some at LSU. Now, we saw something, pretty big story in Louisiana, and a lot of you don't care, but I do think it's relevant. As you guys know, I have a lot of love for North Louisiana. You know, I'm very fortunate to have gone on a lot of radio shows in North Louisiana. I think some of the best people in America live in North Louisiana. I really do. Independence Bowl in Shreveport, big deal. Big deal for folks in Shreveport. Marshall opts out. And this is why I hate this disastrous college football calendar. I freaking hate it. Because we have this world where guys have to decide whether you want to enter the portal or not before the bowl game is even played. We had a Penn State quarterback. Breaking news story. Penn State. Their backup quarterback, and he's not just a backup. He's kind of like a change of pace guy. Bo Prisbilla, whatever the hell his name is. He plays a decent amount. So think, you know, I saw someone mention Matt Flynn earlier. This was Ryan Perilou to Matt Flynn. Their backup quarterback released a statement earlier today. Hey, I've got to enter the portal, and I'm not going to be with the team in the playoff. This happened last year with Malik Murphy. Malik Murphy was the top backup to Quinn Ewers. He decided to enter the portal, and he was in the playoff. I know John Sibley's in here. Sibley is very well versed on how all of that went down. It was kind of crazy. So this is the second consecutive year where the backup quarterback of one of the teams in the playoff, a chance to go win a ring, says, hey, I'm not going to be able to be with the team. I got to go in the portal and go get recruited. As Chance points out, same thing. Yeah, same exact thing. We talked about it then. And my opinion
stays the same.
You can still enter the portal and stay with the team. How important are the visits anyway? What can you really learn on a visit in 24 hours? Nothing. You can still get recruited by other schools. They're still going to judge you based off your film. So F it. Stay with the team. Do both. Do both. If a team really believes in you, hell.
But it's not good enough.
Not good enough. So we really need to get together as a sport and say, hey, what's the point of existing as a sport if we have guys that must enter the portal before a playoff game? What sport is having to make big roster decisions, not just before their season ends, but multiple weeks before their season ends? It's stupid. It is such a ginormous advantage for you to just opt out of your bowl game like Marshall did. Now, Marshall decided to not opt out of their bowl game for strategic reasons. They honestly just don't have enough guys to go play in this bowl game. Yeah, I don't understand that, Pierce. I don't understand that.
coaches are the one that makes players leave.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with Marshall. I will say, the Charles Huff situation from Marshall's vantage point was disastrous. They said he was interviewing for jobs all the time. I thought it was a good coach, obviously. So Southern Miss, who sucked, they get the arguably the best coach in the Sun Belt to come on over. I don't know if he's the best coach in the Sun Belt, but he just won it. But Marshall fans said that he was always interviewing for jobs and looking for the next job since he had been there. So Southern Miss got themselves a big W. And this guy coached for Saban. All right, we'll take a few more. Chance sent me a photo of his dogs. What are those, Chance? Are those pugs? I love doggos. I've been having to take care of my... Y'all pray for my father-in-law. If y'all are religious people, look, I understand God is busy in the transfer portal, but I need y'all's prayers for my father-in-law, my pawpaw. Need him. Okay, if you don't believe in a higher power, it's perfectly fine. You don't have to believe in a metaphysical being to be a fan of this channel. But if that is what you do, please say a prayer for me because it is taking a toll on your boy. Love that man. I hope every single one of you that are married are as blessed as I am with the father-in-law that was given to me. Chris Rock's my favorite. I'm not going to say he's my favorite. He's one of my favorite stand-ups to the point where I had the rare opportunity to go see him a few years ago during the LSU Florida game, Jaden versus A. Rich in Gainesville. So I wasn't able to watch him on SNL last night. I watched his monologue. But let me know, for those that watched last night, was it good? Were the sketches good? I don't know. Appreciate it, man. Goes a long way. I know you watch, Kyle. I thought his monologue was good. Not for everyone, though. Well, H-Town, he's not gone. I'm just saying pray for him. He's not gone. He's still kicking, but he's going through it. Obviously, we'll see. We have more stuff that we'll go through tomorrow. Oh, man, you just got to stay positive, man. You do. Oh, okay. I see. The monologue was good, though. But you know, like I said, not for everybody. No, I don't have a lot of friends that are fans of the Group of Five teams. I just don't have a lot. Like, I have a decent amount. Y'all, I it's hard for me to cry in sports. And I won't ever cry for a team that I don't even cheer for unless it's something really sad. But, you know, we get into, well, the college football calendar is not good for anyone, and this isn't good for that, or whatever. There is nothing worse than being a Group of Five football fan. Nothing worse than the way things are right now. Nothing. And here's the thing, whether you're a fan of Louisiana Tech or Coastal Carolina or whatever, what can be done to protect you guys? Nothing. Not jack you know what. You're going to lose your players every single year. All right? Like, here's the thing that sucks if you're a Group of Five program. Is let's just say there is a guy that does, like, become, like, a stud. The Ashton Jeanty thing gives you such false hope because guys are going to cave and go to a bigger school almost every single time. So, you know, yesterday it was this big debate over Jeanty and Travis Hunter. Would it have been better for college football overall if Jeanty had won the award? Yes, for the Group of Five angle, in my opinion, but it should have been Travis Hunter. Y'all, it's crazy. Like, imagine if you're an Idaho Vandals fan. Yeah, you're losing your best guys. What I don't think players do enough of, and obviously it's for money reasons, but some of it is pride. You go to any college football institution for you to play. Now, I understand you want to go all in for the team. You might get to go play for the team you grew up rooting for. But go somewhere where you know you're going to play. If that means humbling yourself, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Play G5 football. Play. If you're good enough, the NFL will find you. Dude, they will freaking find you. You can go to Towson. You can go to Campbell. And if you don't know what states those schools are located in, I don't blame you. You can go to Lucille. You can go to Edinburgh University. And if you don't know what states those schools are located in, somebody right now in the chat, tell me where Lucille University is located. Somebody in the chat, tell me where it's located. Lucille University. You can't, because I made it up. I made it up. Lucille and they're not even real schools. But you're better off going there than waiting your turn somewhere where you know you're not going to play. Hell, go to Bishop Sycamore. Go to Bishop Sycamore. You'll get playing time there. School might not exist in real life. There might not be an actual brick. There might not be a brick. I can't get through this. Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
there might not be a brick and mortar.
Just go somewhere where you can play. Damn it. You got to touch Howard's rock. It's good for 1 year at Clemson. Get the hell out of there if you're not playing. If you're not playing, get the hell out of there. You'll still go to heaven if you don't play for Dabo Swinney anymore.
Oh, that's so funny. Might not be a brick and mortar. Oh, my God, dude. I know. Whew. I'm the lamest person in the world laughing that hard at that. Huh. All right, we'll take a few more, dude. Carter says, why do I think Brian Kelly took over play calling? I don't know. I don't think he took over play calling. I do feel it was mostly still Sloan. It is something that he decided to put a play sheet in his hands. Look. You know, we're kind of in the same spot. You know, we're talking about like the sequencing of events last year. It looks like we're running it back with Joe Sloan. It looks like that's going to be the case, unless you bring in tight end coach who has co OC capabilities, which would then mean you have a co offensive coordinatorship. Is that how that will? Does co mean halves? You get what I'm saying? All right, y'all. I'm about to give you the dad joke. Of all dad jokes. All right. It's about to come. It's about to splurge. This dad joke. All right. Don't call me OT Genesis. Because last year, I was not in love with the co-co.
Let me know if y'all got it. Let me know if y'all got it. If I need to repeat it, slow it down for folks. That's okay. Telling you, man. And don't pay me the big bucks for no reason. And nobody got it. I guess I got to find new friends. Shout out to Sibley C. Hardy. And all our Venmos, TJ, Julie, and J-Rad. Appreciate you guys so much. Don't forget, please go to iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. Leave 5-star reviews. I only got one comment. So funny, we forgot to laugh. I think part of it is like OT Genesis was not that big of an artist. But I'm not going to explain the joke. If I bomb, I bomb. But I said it was a dad joke. So you're supposed to go in with the wah, wah, wah. I know, God, that's why I gave it up, man. See, Kyle, you're actually funny. Go Tigers, beat Baylor.
It is Power Hour LSU.
And tonight we are doing steak. Let's go.